Welcome to the Bullpen Report, part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson, at Red Fox Roto on X, as always. Today is Saturday. It's July 5th as I'm recording. Now, for such a hyper-focused bi-weekly podcast like this one, where I'm recording a new episode every 3 to 4 days on one specific topic, there's times when there's just not a lot of actionable news since the previous episode. Today is one of those days. Now, July, of course, is a big month for relief pitching with the trade deadline approaching. And in just a few weeks, we could see up to dozens of relief pitchers with dramatically altered fantasy value for the final couple of months of the season, all depending on how active the trade market becomes. But in general terms, one of my goals for this podcast was to try to leave speculation, guesswork out of the equation as much as possible, even though sometimes it's just necessary, you know, to work through the ambiguous, the unclear bullpen situations. Sometimes we have to make our best guess. But this is why I'm hesitant to address like every trade rumor and whisper that I read online, as many of those will amount to nothing. And some may even be intentional propaganda through player agents or front offices, you know, to try to manipulate the public perception of a pitcher's worth. But on the other hand, you know, some wild rumors do come to fruition. Some speculation ends up becoming true. To ignore it completely would be poor process as well. I'd love to be right about everything for myself and, of course, for all of you, the listeners, but we know that's not possible. So throughout July, you know, I'll be doing my best to curate the most realistic, the most likely trade scenarios from all the noise that we're about to hear over the rest of this month. And, you know, hopefully that'll help guide us towards some good decisions, some profitable decisions. Let's start in, though, on the actual bullpen news that has some relevance for this weekend's fab bidding, since Saturday episodes are typically a look ahead at the weekend of free agency. So we'll start with the Chicago White Sox yet again. I've been talking about Grant Taylor for a few weeks, and he saved another game last night, which gives him 3 saves in the first 10 games of his career. And all of those have come in the last 2 weeks. Now, heading into last weekend, Taylor was rostered in 18% of the NFBC online championship leagues. That number went up to 62% where it stands this week. But it's still a low number for a pitcher that is the most talented guy in his bullpen and has 3 saves in a relatively short time frame. The White Sox aren't a great source of saves. The inexperienced Taylor, he may be inconsistent as he faces major league hitters regularly. But for those of you with precarious relief pitching on your teams, you know, maybe you're holding 2 or 3 guys who have trade rumors swirling around them. Taylor at least represents a fallback option if you lose a closer to a setup role post-deadline, or if you haven't been able to acquire a good second closer or third option. He should be rostered in more than 62% of leagues right now. So Grant Taylor is definitely worth a bid for those needing saves or as a possible hedge against the trade deadline. Now let's head down to South Florida next, where the Marlins carousel is spinning once more. I don't want to beat the carousel gimmick into the ground, but there's really been no better way to describe how the Marlins closer role has been handled this season. We've seen no less than 4 pitchers as the, you know, the quote unquote closer in Miami this season: Calvin Fauché, Anthony Bender, Jesus Tinoco, and Ronnie Enriquez have taken their turns. Their values have ridden up and down, just like the horses on a carousel. So the comparison fits. And right now it appears to be Ronnie Enriquez's turn which makes him a viable option for fantasy purposes. Like the White Sox, the Rockies, and bad teams, acquiring a Marlins reliever should come at a reasonable cost. Nobody has held the closer job for long in Miami, and that may prove true this time with Enriquez. But still, he has the Marlins' last three saves. That's a pattern we can't ignore. The strikeout upside has been high, the ratio solid, especially the ERA. Now, any relief pitcher, even the elite ones, can be a volatile commodity. One bad outing can hurt ratios for a month or more. But saves are saves, and when you need them, you get them wherever you can take them. And Ronnie Enriquez is getting those saves in Miami. But now we move on to Atlanta for another check-in with the Braves bullpen. And unfortunately, still no clarity on the roles of Dylan Lee and Raisel Iglesias. Either one could get the next save or be the closer right now. And we wouldn't know because the Braves haven't been supplying wins and save chances for us to find out. As far as current momentum, it may favor Iglesias at the moment. He hasn't allowed a run since June 5th, so a full month at this point. But that only covers 9 games. Now, Dylan Lee's 14-game streak without allowing an earned run came to an end on Tuesday when he allowed 3 runs to open the 8th inning of a tie game. And last night, Dylan Lee recorded 5 outs against the Orioles. He threw 1 2/3 innings, but the Braves were trailing by a run at the time. The day before that, Raisel Iglesias struck out 3 in a scoreless inning. So I'll repeat the advice I've given the past couple weeks. You hold Raisel Iglesias if you have him. He may be very close to getting that closer job back. But until we know, Dylan Lee should be more widely rostered, until there's a solution or a resolution to this scenario. Now, looking ahead to the trade deadline, I would consider Raisel Iglesias a possibility to be traded. So if we assume Dylan Lee remains with the team through the deadline, Lee could well be one of the better deadline save specs to have rostered. Moving on, if there were any lingering doubts about Devin Williams' job security in New York, that should no longer be true. Luke Weaver had another rough outing last night. He entered a close game in the 7th inning to face Pete Alonso. He walked Alonso and then allowed a lead-losing home run to Jeff McNeil, so Weaver took the loss and blown save in that game. Now, Luke Weaver returned earlier than expected from a hamstring injury that was believed to be costing him 4 to 6 weeks. I think he came back around 3 weeks. It seems like he should have taken more time to let the hammy fully heal, because he certainly hasn't been his usual dominant self since he's returned. At this point, Weaver can be dropped in most formats now that it seems much more unlikely he'll be earning 9th inning chances over Devin Williams anytime soon. Now that does it for the most relevant FAB targets this weekend. So that's Grant Taylor, Ronnie Enriquez, Dylan Lee should be more highly rostered, and I would add the Phillies' Matt Strom to that list. Strom is sharing saves with Orion Kerkering in Philadelphia, but somehow Kerkering is almost universally owned in the NFBC OCs, but Strom is barely hanging around 50%. Strom should be more widely owned as well. So we'll finish up this Saturday show with a little segment taking a look at the trade market and its possible effect on current closers. I've mentioned some save specs before, but who are a few of the more, I don't want to say obvious, but maybe more likely names who could lose their job at the deadline? And who should we be looking to have a backup plan in place for? So perhaps the most popular name on the trade market this season is the resurgent Aroldis Chapman in Boston. After that Rafael Devers trade, it seemed clear that Boston was not intending to compete this season, even if they remain within striking distance of a playoff spot. So if so, there's zero incentive for the Red Sox to hold Chapman. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's 37 years old. Probably going to be traded. Now, wherever Chapman lands, there is the possibility he's not the closer. I mean, we can't rule out the Dodgers for any player, really. We've seen that the past few seasons. That would probably knock Chapman out of the closer job because he's probably not replacing Tanner Scott. The Mets could be in the market for a high-leverage lefty. They're very right-handed heavy. And Aroldis Chapman not likely to unseat Edwin Diaz. So there's some risk for Chapman. But there's also, of course, a chance that Chapman is acquired by a contending team that intends to use him as their closer. But that leads us to some names who could lose their jobs to an Aroldis Chapman or someone else at the trade deadline. Now, the Tigers are a legitimate contender, but their bullpen lacks depth. While Will Vest has done an excellent job saving games most of the season, things look a lot different with an established vet like Aroldis Chapman. The same could be true for the Cubs, who famously acquired Aroldis Chapman in this same situation back in 2016 when they replaced Hector Rondon and went on to win the World Series. Now, could the Cubs do something similar with Daniel Palencia this year? Maybe. Another team to watch out for is the Phillies. Orion Kerkering and Matt Strom, they've been a fine tandem at the back end, but like the Phillies acquiring Carlos Estevez last year, they're probably looking to bring in a veteran presence to handle more of the ninth innings and lengthen that bullpen this year. So if you're holding any of Aroldis Chapman, Will Vest, Kerkering or Strom, Daniel Palencia, these are some of the names that we may want to start making backup plans for in case they're no longer getting saves after the trade deadline passes. Well, this brings today's episode to a close. I do want to take a moment just to thank everyone that has been listening to these episodes, to the podcast so far. I'm hopeful that some information in these pods has helped you at some point during the season or will help you, as we approach the deadline and for anything that happens after. But a little bit of news. Our next episode I will record on Monday night. I am leaving for vacation on Tuesday morning. So this means there will not be a Bullpen Report podcast on Saturday, July 12th or on Tuesday, July 15th while I'm away. I'll be back on the normal schedule again with an episode on Saturday, July 19th. So until next time, you've been listening to the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. This is Dan Thompson. Let's close it out.